There are days that hurt. There are days that are good. There are days that are bad. But we can celebrate the day the Lord has made because this is the day of God's help.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, April 17th, 2026. Pastor Jeff is speaking. Today's message is entitled, What Day Is It? And our text comes to us from Psalm 118:24. And now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, it's so good to be up here with you guys to learn, to grow, to have some fun. And as I begin today, and as I've been processing through this and working through this for some weeks now, I thought to myself, I need to put a warning on the beginning of our sermon today. Now, I saw some of your faces right now. Uh-oh. And this is not that kind of a warning. Don't worry, sister. It's going to be okay. I promise. Okay, God's in this. But something's going to happen to you when I read our text today. Your ears, your stomach, your eyes, when you see the text, you're going to have this kind of internal knee-jerk reaction, okay? So when we get there and it happens, I'll point it out, okay? But stay with me, okay? That's what I'm going to ask you to do. And so the idea is that we're going to be in a particular chapter, and in this chapter, I want to start off with these two things. The first verse and the last verse of this chapter, verse 1 and verse 29, are identical. They're literally the same verse. It's repeated. Now, this is coming from a psalm. And the psalms can be looked at, and a choir director, so to say, could use the psalm. And many songs have been sung and put together. We sang songs today that were based in different psalms. And so the way these two bookend verses, right, the chapter starts with this verse, and the chapter ends with this verse. And so the director says one line, and everybody else says the next line, okay? So trying this with you guys, I'm a little nervous, but I think you can pull it off, okay? And so Psalms 118, verse 1 says this. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Now your turn. For his mercy endures forever. Let's try that again. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Okay, we're going to be doing that through the whole sermon today, okay? So you got to be paying attention, right? If your neighbor's starting to nod off and snore a little bit, you might want to give him a little elbow, you know? Hey, your part's almost up, right? Your part's almost up. So one more time, we're going to try it, because this particular chapter is full of God's people talking about really bad things, being surrounded by their enemy, being condemned for their ways that they were living, for their unfaithfulness, for their turning away and walking away from a good God who had delivered them from so much, they forgot who the Lord was. And they're under attack, and there's chaos, and there's pain, and there's sorrow, and there's hurting, and there's mourning, and there's all of these things going on. Yet the body of Christ got together, God's people got together, and when they got together, the leader would say, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And then he talks about all of that horrible stuff. And then he gets to the end of the chapter, and what does he say? Let's go from verse 1 to verse 29, please. And it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. All right, we're going to get that in you so deep that no matter what we're facing on any day of the week, any moment, any time, that I want the Spirit of God to imprint this word onto your heart so that you can grab it at any moment, and no matter what is going on in your life, you can shout out, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. We'll see how this goes. I believe in you. I really do. Before we dive any deeper, let's try this one more time. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. This is how the chapter begins and how it ends. It's about the mercy that God gives us. It's about a proclamation of the goodness of our God. And our verse for today, and this is the moment where your stomachs, your eyes, and your ears are going to play a trick on you. Okay? Psalms 118, verse 24. This is the day that the Lord has made.
We will rejoice and be glad in it.
But you don't get to leave. We're not done. We say this at the end of almost every service, and all of your stomachs are like, hey, is it time to eat? You said it out loud. Oh, time to go. Stay with me, okay? This is an important, important piece of the Word of God that we need to hold into our hearts and into every single day of our life. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We're not done. We're going to dive into this right now. And I'd like it if you just left the verse up there the whole time, please. This is the day. Which day? Which day are they talking about? Is it today? Is it something that was going on with them in that moment? And we have to ask ourselves this question. And this is a question we need to answer when we say this verse. Because sometimes, I think we've said it so many times at the end of our services, we're just like, yeah, this is the day the Lord has made. It's time to go home. This is the day that the Lord has made. It's time to greet my brothers and sisters and go to lunch. This is the day that the Lord has made. Call them and tell them party of four. We're on our way, right? Like, I don't know what's getting triggered in your mind when you read this, you know? This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. And I think I'm going to have a sandwich, right? Like, there are all these things that happen to us sometimes when we repeat things and we don't really hold on to it for what it is. This is another proclamation of the goodness of our God. But we have to ask ourselves, which day? What day? Is it this day? To rejoice? To be glad? I mean, who are you kidding? What if today is one of those days that just isn't one of those rejoicing and being glad days? Anybody ever have one of those days? Any of you ever have those kinds of days where you just don't think there's any goodness in this world? Where you're so overwhelmed with whatever it may be. For some of us, a lot of us right now, it's grief. And it's mourning. It's concern for Brother Charles. It's the loved ones in our lives who don't know the Lord. Who we wish we could tell them more, but they won't hear it. They don't want it. How do we rejoice and be glad in people we care for, who we've tried to minister to, who are rejecting the grace that God gives them? How do we rejoice when the tax man empties out your bank account? How do you rejoice when the things of this world are crashing down all around you? Well, it must not be this day. So which day is it? Well, let's be honest. There are days that aren't the kind of days to rejoice. And that's not me or your experiences. That's also the Word of God. Ecclesiastes 3 is very clear about the kinds of days that we will have in life. To everything, there is a season, is how it's written. But we could change that word from season to day. To everything, there is a day. A day for every purpose under heaven. A day to be born. A day to die. A day to plant, a day to pluck what is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. We can be sure that not every single day is a day to rejoice. When we read Ecclesiastes 3, and it's laid before us that these are the kinds of days, these are the seasons, these are the things that we will go through in life. And some of these things are good. Some of these things are awful. And going through them can be so difficult. So it leads us to this place where we say, if this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, what day is it? Because it ain't today, Pastor, because today I'm down. Today I'm hurting. Today I mourn. Today I hate. Today there's war. Today I'm silent. Today I lose. Well, To say we can be sure that not every day is a day to rejoice is the wrong way to look at it. Because every day is a day to rejoice. And we get back to our question of our today's text. This is the day the Lord has made and we will rejoice. In context, when we look at Psalms 118, the whole chapter. Now, Ecclesiastes is very clear, right? There will be days, ups, downs, all of that stuff. But in Psalms 118, it's referring to this. There are three sections in this whole chapter. The first four verses is, this is the day of God's love, right? So today is the day of God's love, so we will rejoice and be glad in it. So I will say to you this, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. I took a shot. The first part of this chapter is the first four verses, and this is the day of God's love. Isn't it good that God loves us? Amen, right? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his mercy endures forever.
The second part of this chapter is talking about the day of God's help, where God shows up. You're surrounded by the enemy. You're overwhelmed with grief. You're overwhelmed with burden. You're overwhelmed with financial stress, family problems, relational issues, problems at work, physical problems. Oh, this hurts. Oh, that hurts. Oh, this hurts. According to Brother John, this hurts right here real bad. I don't know why. And his doctor says, because you're old, right? There are days that we have pain. There are days that hurt. There are days that are good. There are days that are bad. But we can celebrate the day the Lord has made because this is the day of God's help. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
Mercy endures forever.
You know, in my head, when I was preparing this, you guys were standing up and shouting. You're so excited because you came to the conclusion, God is good.
Amen.
For his mercies endure forever.
Amen.
The last section of this particular chapter talks about the day of God's Son, also known as the day of the Lord. And when we think about the day of the Lord, a lot of times we think about a future moment that's going to happen. We think about the return of the King, right? Not the Lord of the Rings, but the return of Jesus, right? We think about this moment when the skies will open up. And the trumpets will sound, and Jesus will return, not as a lamb to the slaughter, but as the conquering king with a sword. And every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess, and every debt will be settled. And that includes the wages of sin and the debt of sin. Now, the day of the Lord is something that sometimes we think about in this future tense. It's a future thing. It's gonna happen. I can tell you without a doubt, I know plenty of people who they've had their day of the Lord. And they are in his presence. And we sit behind and we wait for our day of the Lord. Just because you may not be around when, quote unquote, the rapture happens and the return of the king happens and Christ comes down, you may think that you get to skip the day of the Lord and skip judgment. Oh, no. No, you had yours already if you've already gone. If it happens while we're here, that is the day of the Lord. We go into it all together. And because the day of the Lord is something to be celebrated, why? Because it's the mercy of God that brings the day of the Lord as Christ went to the cross and paid the debt for our sin.
Amen.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Sometimes when we read this text, we realize that they're looking at past things that God has done. How many of you could testify today that God has done something miraculous in your life? Maybe just the fact that you're sitting here right now is a miracle today. The fact that your family's still together. The fact that you're still standing after everything you've been facing. The fact that you've taken things in your life and you've put them in the hands of God. You've put them at his throne and you've asked him to do, and God showed up and God did. And we can testify to those great things that God has done. But we can also look forward to the future. Because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, but there's a lot of people who Jeff would like to put his own vengeance on, and I'm sure all of you have people in your life who you would like to invoke your own vengeance on. But I don't have to worry about them. You know why? Because today is the day that the Lord has made. And one day, just like in Psalms 118, just as it explains to us, the enemies that surround me, the traps that are set before me, my own flesh that stumbles me up here and there, The day of the Lord is the day that all debts are settled and God's on it. And so for that, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. I'm going to be honest. This side's got it. Can I get the verse 29 on the screen, please? We'll try this one more time. Okay, this side. Okay. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Now, all together, just like heaven, all together, everybody mixed in. We're not separated. We're all at the foot of the cross or the foot of the throne of God. And someone says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. What a wonderful thing for us to look forward to. Back to 24, please. Looking at our text today, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And when we ask ourselves, what does it mean to rejoice? What does it mean to be glad? It means to have peace, to have confidence in what God has promised, and his goodness and his mercy, and how they reign in our life. This is the day the Lord has made. What an encouraging fact that when you look around and you're distracted by the distractions of this world, you're distracted by what the enemy is throwing at you, what the enemy is whispering into your ear, you can reset yourself and refocus and remember this encouraging fact that, in fact, this is the day that the Lord has made. So our appropriate response to that part of this verse, that this is the day, the appropriate response is that we would rejoice. You may be overwhelmed with a sickness, an illness, mourning, sorrow, suffering, doubt, worry, loss, whatever it is. You focus on that and you're going to sit in that. And you know, you're going to end up being pretty miserable to be around even yourself. Now, I'm not putting anybody down because we go through a lot of things and sometimes things hurt a lot and we have to take those things to the cross. We have to take them to the Lord. We have to surrender them there. But it's still an encouraging fact that this is the day he made and that he chose you to be in this day and that he tells us that you're not alone in this day. As a matter of fact, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. And no matter what the enemy throws at me, no matter what dumb thing I put in front of myself that I make myself trip over, right? Because we can't over-spiritualize everything. Yeah, the enemy's looking to attack, but sometimes he doesn't need our help. We can make some pretty dumb decisions sometimes that lead us into sorrow and doubt and struggle. And people say, well, I don't know why this is happening. God doesn't give you anything that you can't handle. No, that's true, but you picked that one up on your own. You know, like, let's be honest. Whenever we're facing those things, if we can just reset our brain, if we can just return our heart to what the Word of God says, to what it promises us, we can then move away from the attacks, whether it's outsiders, whether it's the enemy, whether it's the flesh, whatever you may be facing. This verse, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It emphasizes us living in the present moment. Okay? It argues that tomorrow's not promised. All you have is today. And we don't even know how much of today. If we're really honest with ourselves, God is in control. God knows every hair on my head. He knew me before he formed me in my mother's womb, and my days are numbered by him. So there's nothing I can do to extend the days that God has decided are appropriate for me. There's nothing you can do. Well, I hear there's this new treatment in Germany. It's not FDA approved in the United States, but if I go over there, I'm sure I can get this treatment and I can overcome. It's just going to cost every penny I have. And then you go and you do that, and then the Lord still calls you home, right? There is no way around the fact that the day of the Lord will come for every single one of us, but that's not something to be afraid of. We should live in the present rather than dwelling in the past. We should live in the present rather than worrying about the future. We should urge each other to wake up every morning and say, thank you, God, for the air in my lungs, for my beating heart, for my open eyes, and because this is the day that you have made, and that we will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank the Lord for what he's doing. You know, another thing that this day does for us, understanding this day, is that with no promise of tomorrow, we should treasure every minute. I've been involved in so many funerals in my lifetime, whether in an official capacity or just being in this church for 47 years. Where some of you sit right now is where a lot of the saints who are with the Lord now used to sit. And I remember them from being about 14 months old all the way to today. And people have come and people have gone. And it can be difficult at times when I watch people mourn. And I've done enough funerals to see how people mourn. I see people mourn with and without regret. Those who show up for their family, they mourn and it hurts. And it hurts a lot. Anyone who's lost someone understands that. But I've seen people in so much agony and so much pain because they mourn with so much regret because they always thought, I have more time. I'll make it right later. I'll go see them another time. I'll make the effort in another moment. I don't want to. I'm not ready. Whatever the excuse is, there was so much distance. You know, with FaceTime, you can see people, but that's a different story. I'm not going to get into that. But the reality is this, right? Is time is precious and it's fleeting. And your days are numbered and the seconds are counting down. As a matter of fact, let me put it to you like this. If somebody decided to give you 86,400 pennies a day, for those of you math people, don't worry, I used a calculator. That comes out to $864 daily. I'd take it. Would you take it? Somebody offered you $864 a day, would you take it? Would you take it? Yeah, you'd take it, right? What a blessing. $864 a day. But there's a catch. You have to spend all $864 each day. You can't save it. You can't store it up. You can't dig a hole and put it in a treasure box and hide it and draw a treasure map for somebody else. You gotta spend it. It's like your vacation time. If you don't use it, you lose it, right? And they're not gonna pay you out at the end of it, okay? Redeeming time, that's the accounting term, right? So here's what I want you to understand. Your days consist of 86,400 seconds. That's 60 seconds times 60 minutes. Times 24 hours. Your day has 86,400 seconds. And this day that the Lord has made, you've been given 86,400 seconds. This day is a gift from God and must be managed wisely. What are you doing with your seconds every day? Because if you spend your seconds on anything other than trying to get close to God, rejoicing in his goodness and his faithfulness, no matter what's going on around you, your seconds are lost and you never get them back. You invest your money wisely. You do things to send your kids to the best schools, to have the best teachers, to get them the best tutors, whatever it may be that you're trying to do. You're investing in these things. How are you going to invest the seconds of your day? By focusing on all the negative in your life? By being caught up on what somebody said once many years ago, who you're still holding a grudge against? By being lost in a world of distractions and not having the discernment that God gives us to be focused on him instead of those things? You can waste your seconds on the things of this world, or you can put your seconds into the everlasting love that comes from God. A lot of times this verse is used as a daily devotional or a life verse, encouraging believers to view each day as a fresh creation right out of God's hands. Today's a new day. You know who you were yesterday? That's gone. Who you think you're going to be tomorrow? It's not here yet. It's not settled. The only thing we can focus on is today. Regardless of past circumstances, regardless of what you think the future may hold, this is still the day that the Lord has made. And we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. And for that I say, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. If this is the day, and in this day we can and should rejoice and be glad, there's only one reason we can do that. And that's grace. Because if you go backwards in your life, I'm sure there's a long list of things you don't deserve grace for if you start peeling it apart. I'm included. If you look to the future, there's a lot of uncertainty that you might not be able to settle in your head. You might not be able to land on it in a way that feels like, okay, I have confidence about the future. So I'm going to ask you, focus on the grace that brings peace. Even in the chaos of this world, peace flows through chaos. But I can't make it flow, and you can't make it flow. But I give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. So how do we get there? To rejoice and be glad today, we need to live in the present, in the here and the now. You know, there's a couple of things I want to finish up with right here. Okay, we're getting there, I promise. There was a video I saw, and these two young men walk up to this old gentleman who lives in their neighborhood, and they were from the South. You could tell by how we were all talking. You know, they went up to him and said, hey, Bob. I don't remember his name, but hey, Bob, look, you look like you got your whole life put together, Bob. What advice do you have for a couple of young, early 20-something single guys? And Bob, with his long gray beard, his long gray hair, his pickup truck, his dog, and his rifle, looks at them and he says, the best advice I can give you, now stop telling me I got it all put together, boys, because I don't, but I do know one thing. The best advice I can give you is talk to God every day. He goes on to explain that in his childhood and in his youth, he went to church. He knew a little bit about God. Excuse me. But then he decided that he was his own God, like many people do. And he cut off all communication. And he got into all kinds of trouble. But then one day he realized, you know, I haven't talked to God in a while. And he said, talk to God every day. You don't have to tell people you do it. You don't have to make a show out of it. You don't have to go get on your knees in front of people. You don't have to stand on a corner with a sign that says the end is near, free prayer, I'll pray for you. You just need to talk to God every day. And he said the moment he started doing that, every decision he started making in his life, every battle he faced, every trial that came at him, every disappointment that he had to deal with, God was involved in the conversation. And now the decisions he was making were based on something that came from a conversation with God. And God doesn't lead us into more trouble. God leads us as a tunnel through troubled water, as a bridge over troubled water, as our guide through the trials, as our support. God goes before us. God stands behind us. God is on either side of us, and God's got us. But you can't know that if you don't spend time with him. So how do we shift in our brain this understanding that if this is the day that the Lord has made and I'm supposed to rejoice, but I don't feel like rejoicing, talk to God. Bring him into your situation. Bring him into every moment. And then recognize the blessing you have. And the blessing that you have is in this present moment. And I want to finish with just this I said this a couple of weeks ago when I was up here, and I'm going to say it again because I think it's that important, and I truly believe that we need to really grasp onto this. How am I going to face this day? No matter what, and rejoice, I have to recognize who I am, and I have to recognize who God is. First, I am a disciple of Christ, beloved by God. I am. And when Moses asked God through the burning bush, "Who are you?" God said, "I am." John 14:6, Jesus said to them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." All right? I am is present tense. I am is this moment. Nowhere do we see in the Word of God where we learn that God says, "I was," or "I will be." The blessing God has for you is in the "I am," in this present tense and in this moment. I said it a couple of weeks ago from right here. I said, you cannot go back in time into the past and be obedient to God. The past has come and gone. You cannot go into the future and be obedient to God yet, because the future isn't here. You can be obedient to God in the present tense, in this moment, where the blessing of God sits. The blessing of God sits upon us in this very moment. No matter what we're facing, we can rejoice when we have the blessing of God. No matter what's going on, no matter what decision needs to be made, no matter what may be crashing down all around us, we can sit in the present moment of God, and we can die to self, pick up our cross, and follow Jesus. That's how we live a resurrected life. I can rejoice and be glad in it. Can I get 29 again? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Now, church, I understand that for some of us, we don't feel like the mercy of God is reigning in our life in a way that makes us all happy and warm and fuzzy and feeling like rejoicing. But dare I challenge you to take your eyes off of your challenges and put your eyes on God. Because when you do that, you can then say without a doubt, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." Amen, church? Amen. Pastor?
Now we go in victory from this place. Amen. And we go rejoicing in this place. And wait for the Lord to just do his thing. Actually, he will surprise you. He will surprise you. He will surprise you every single day. And his love and his mercy endureth what? Forever. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't that wonderful? So now you get to say the verse, but you can't run out. This is the day. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord. What a wonderful day.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.